Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we have a treat in store for you. Joining us is a musical force that has been rocking the local scene with their infectious melodies, irresistible energy, and undeniable charisma. Get ready to groove, tap your feet, and experience the magic as we sit down with the sensational band known as the Hackens Boys. The Hackens Boys have carved their place in the hearts of fans with their signature blend of soulful vocals, dynamic guitars, thumping bass lines, and a rhythm that is guaranteed to set any stage on fire. Today, we have Spencer Wagner on lead vocals and rhythm guitar, Daniel Barnett on lead guitar and background vocals, Jake Stover on bass and background vocals, and Tyler Thomas on drums. This ensemble has been making waves not only for their musical prowess, but also for their undeniable camaraderie. With their roots deeply embedded in the local music scene, the Hackens Boys have become more than just a band. They're a musical phenomenon taking their talents around the Shenandoah Valley and beyond. From packed local venues to electrifying festivals, their performances have become synonymous with contagious energy and a guaranteed good time. Welcome to the show, fellas. It's great to have you on today.
Hey, Don.
It's so great to have you on. I'm laughing because we had so much fun in talking to each other before pressing record. I'm looking forward to this time with you so much. It's so exciting to talk with each and every one of you today because this band has such a rich local history. In fact, the Hackens Boys have become a household name in the Shenandoah Valley music scene. Can you share how the band initially came together and decided on the distinctive name?
Well, let's take it all the way back, Dawn, to 2003.
Let's do it.
I was 2 years old.
I know. I was like, was Spencer even an apple in his parents' eye? I don't know.
I was three.
Yeah, so back then, 2003, I was just fresh out of high school. And my best friend, Josh, I had gotten a baseball scholarship to go play baseball at a school called Tennessee Tech. So he's about an hour from Nashville, maybe 45 minutes. And believe it or not, we didn't have social media back then. I don't even know if we texted back then. We're talking on the phone. You know, he's saying, hey, man, I bought a guitar. You know, we're close to the city. Everybody plays music here. So he's got a guitar. I go to the store, get a guitar, a cheap guitar, and try to teach myself how to play in my college dorm at the time. So we're taking notes, telling each other what we learned every week. And then when he would come home on break, we'd get together and compare notes. And, you know, a couple months go by and we're like, hey, man, you know, what if we could start a band? Nobody around here has really done that before. Let's see what we can do. And so we happened to hook up with his cousin, Jeremy Swecker, who was playing guitar at the time as well. He's from Highland County, and their family property in Highland is a place called the Hackens. It's about a couple thousand acres in Highland County, beautiful place. And we would go back there for parties, things like that. We would play guitar. And, you know, we do that a couple times. We're looking around and we say, hey, you know, this is our band. We're the Hackens Boys. And no, look, not thinking we'd ever have a gig, you know, much less have a band name at that point. And that's where the name started with us three. My uncle joined the band a couple months later and we had our first show. But the name's rooted in the Hackens. It's in Highland County, very sacred place to that family. So it stuck. We've been around for a long time, so the name is something to be proud of, still means something. So that's the story behind the formation and the name of the group. Long time ago.
I love that story. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. That's the name of the property, right? That's what was part of the story. Yeah,
that's right. Name of the property in Highland County. So we're based in Harrisonburg, based out of Bridgewater. So it's about 45 minutes from us. So still there.
That's great. So you play music there now at all?
Haven't been back in a while. I'm trying to get these guys out there. I need to talk to Josh, see if we can set it up. I'd love for them to see it. It's a beautiful place. So we need to get back out there sometime soon.
Yeah, I think so. Your music is fabulous, and it encompasses a mix of genres from rock to country and beyond. How do you navigate such a diverse range of styles while maintaining a unique sound?
I think we're just kind of come together in a sound of our own. We all come from different backgrounds. I came from more of a bluegrass country background. Tyler loves playing rock and grunge. Spencer was born in 2000, so I don't know what he listens to. Jake is from really the country, so he just listens to four-string banjo. And I think we just find a way to blend all those things together. We have a great camaraderie between us, and we're able to express ourselves in a way that helps us blend all of those sounds together, even the turkey calls.
Turkey calls.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy when you get like four people in a room, no matter like what your influences are, like when you all just start playing, it just meshes into a something of its own. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really cool to see the four completely different, because we all have such different tastes in music when it really boils down to it. Like if you're going to look at what we're listening to in the car, but then I think it comes together into something pretty great.
I think we all kind of centralize on Southern rock and rock and roll, as many Americans do. And then the different tastes that we all have come together to create what we have.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We're just lucky enough that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it works. A lot of the reason being that we just are like, these are three of my best friends. You know, we get together, we play music, we drink beer, and we play music. It just works out.
And we're really open with each other too. So like, you know, even though everybody has different tastes, we can be honest with each other. If something doesn't sound good, we can talk to each other about it. If something sounds good, we can move on.
Yeah.
We just have a good relationship that way.
Yeah, you definitely do. You're local people and you're very unique. And speaking of local and unique, I am munching on some local and unique goodness right now. It's confetti-flavored popcorn from our sponsor, Pre-Popsterous, Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn. Have you all ever tried it?
Oh, yeah. Come to Bridgewater and get you some.
It's too late. Well, our sample, I assume that's going to be DoorDash to us, Dawn.
You got that right, Spencer Wagner. Yeah. What's your favorite flavor, Tyler? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, we did the cheddar and the caramel. And yeah, if you're a little adventurous, you can mix them together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quite the wild man.
I agree.
I'm gonna lay your fingers on this man's caramel.
Well, when I do send it to you, I promise those of you who haven't tried it yet, you are gonna love it. Their kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Their factory is 100% nut-free. In fact, there are no nuts anywhere in their factory at all or in the production process. It's also great for any gifting occasion, perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, or literally anything that comes up. So you can make it a perfect gift because it doesn't require you anyone to know shirt, shoe, or pant size. And they offer the Laughers a discount too. Just use promo code LAUGH15 to get your 15% discount today when you visit prepopsterous.com. That's P-R-E-P-O-P-S-T-E-R-O-U-S.com. Now back to you, fellas. That's right. You got live performances, and they are the cornerstone of your band's identity. What is it about the live experience that you believe sets the Hackens Boys apart?
So one of the things I think really shows when we're on stage is the fact that we are friends. You know, we're like, if you come to one of our live shows, you are going to see us laughing and cutting up on stage. Like, whether Dan is ripping one of his phenomenal solos with his hair blowing in the wind, and I'm just like up in his face, egging him on. We just try to keep our energy high and get the crowd involved. And just genuinely, when you are having a good time on stage with your friends, other people in the crowd with their friends are going to be having just as good of a time. And I think that really just shows when we're playing. Yeah,
I feel the same. We call it the juice. So
yeah, like, the juice.
That's what you can't get that. You can try to convey it through recording, but you can't get the true feel of what we are until you come to a live show and feel that energy. Because to me, that's our strength. That's what the band has been based around. So we do bring the juice live, and I know that the crowd really enjoys it. I think they do. So
yeah. For sure. And there's nothing like being on stage.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
It clears your mind of everything.
It's therapy.
It heals all your sicknesses.
Think about one thing when you're playing music, and that's playing that music.
Yeah.
You know, and playing acoustic. Daniel and I both play acoustic shows. And I know for me, it's like, I love playing acoustic shows here and there, but it does not even come close to comparing to when I'm getting on stage with my best friends and just getting to burn it down with them for the next couple of hours.
Yeah. One thing I thought about too, I tell people this all the time is, you know, we have jobs, we have families, and it can be stressful. We're at that point in our lives where things can be stressful because you have so many things going on. And this is still the one thing that I get to do where I don't think about anything else. Mm-hmm. When we're on stage for that 3 hours, whatever it is, it's like a release for me. You know, I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about home stuff or anything negative. It's all just a totally positive vibe with my folks on stage. That's what I love about it the most.
Mm. And to be in it, to be with four people that are locked in to the same sonic groove area at the same time, is you're not going to find anything like it anywhere else. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
You definitely have a good, excellent camaraderie about you, and you talk about that as being a unique piece of the live performance. Is that camaraderie more in between songs, during songs, both? When you say you're laughing, okay.
We have just as much fun on the way to and from shows as we have during the show.
But like, even just things where like if we're doing certain songs, I'll look at Jake and just, you know, he and I end up cutting up and doing some little improv dancing with each other on stage. Like, it's just, he and I are laughing, so people just know that they can laugh right with us. I mean, it's just, we just are having fun, because that's really what it's, I mean, we make music and we love that, but we're there to have a good time with the crowd.
Yeah, that's really great. And each of you bring your own musical influences to the table. How do you collaborate to create a cohesive sound that resonates with the audiences?
I think that's a good question. I thought we touched on that a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Actually, we kind of went down this path, but I was thinking about influences. So for me, I learned to play drums, playing Weezer and Bush and all this 90s alternative. And then when we started the band, everybody really kind of moved into a strong Texas country kind of influence for me, drum-wise. So it's basically like Texas grunge, taking your 90s influence and making it a little bit more rock. So that's me. I know Dan is a very soulful influence and some older type Southern rock, very Allman Brothers, things of that nature. Like we said, Jake's more old country to me. He's a little bit more eclectic. And then Spence, you know, he's 23 years old. He brings a whole new flair. to the whole thing. So
yeah.
I was thinking the reason why I say this because when we do make music together, I hear all of it. I hear my influence playing Weezer when I was in seventh grade. I hear Allman Brothers. I hear Old Country. I hear new school vocals from Spence or things that are current. And, you know, you try to put it together. You touched on this earlier to make a smooth sounder. You put it into machine and you hope something smooth comes out. But to me, being able to pick out each of our individual influences is also what makes us unique. So, you know, it's a give and take on what sounds good versus what doesn't. But I think it's what makes us unique. I don't know if you guys agree, but I hear it all in the recording.
I would say it's something that we continually work on, too. It's not, you don't just find your sound and that's your sound. If you listen to King of Wild, some of our, we have a wide range of sounds and influences on that album. And then if you listen to the four or five singles that we've put out since then, we've transitioned to a little bit of a heavier band with a little more rock influence and some of those newer vocal lines that T was talking about that Spencer sang. So I think it's something that we continually try to hone and find as well. Yeah.
I agree. I think that King of Wild album was definitely, the tracks are almost more individual driven where you may not be able to tell as a listener who has written the song, but us as a group, each song has its own feel by who brought that song to the table.
Oh, and yeah, that makes sense.
As we have molded with these new past four or five singles,
written them more together as well.
Yes, we've came together and tried to write more together. And it's a more cohesive sound.
And then I know for one thing, so, you know, we keep making jokes about how I'm 23. I've been playing music with you guys. Like, you know, I've been playing music with these guys my entire adult life.
Like, and some of it is not about life.
Yeah, all 5 years of it.
A lot of my strongest musical influences are sitting right here in the room with me. So, like, it's been really great for me because I hear, me and Tyler are both on the 90s grunge. Like, that is where we want to reside always. But then Daniel, I remember after a show one night, he and I went home to his place, both got a large pizza and watched the Allman Brothers live concerts until like 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, these guys introduced me to what I now consider my favorite music. And so it's really been a great experience for me because they have molded me into the singer and musician that I am. And now we're just coming together and bringing all the parts into one machine.
Yeah, it's a great machine. I will tell you that the Shenandoah Valley, and you're a part of this, has a rich musical history. How has the local environment influenced your music and your performances?
You know, I grew up watching my granddad play music with his friends when we were at cookouts or at hunting camp or wherever you were. There seemed to be a guitar somewhere that somebody would break out and you'd watch them play. And then when you're old enough, you start to play too. Nashville seems to be the hub for country music. But if you ask anybody in the Shenandoah Valley where all of their musical upbringing and influence is from, everybody you know has a guitar and they pick and they play. And there are some really talented closet musicians in the Valley. So I just think that being immersed in the music all the time gives you that passion and drive for it. We're continually reminded that there's people as talented or more talented than we are in the Shenandoah Valley to play music. And I think that's just a great area to be in when you're creating music or your own mindset.
Yeah, I can say, growing up the same way, my pops played bluegrass music and his friends would come over and play bluegrass all night long, and that's some of my early influences. And then he also had a group that would play Southern rock together, and that was some influence. And it just, there's people in the Shenandoah Valley that it just, we just have great musicians all throughout, kind of like Jake said, anyone you meet could be a phenomenal musician. Just this valley just has them.
And on that, you know, Harrisonburg being the friendly city, I feel like all of those musicians, even the ones that really aren't playing shows and they just play because they love it. Like there's a sense of family to it. Like when I first started hanging out with these guys, you know, we'd go over to Daniel's house and we'd go down to the basement and there'd be 10 guitars, 5 bass players, 5 drummers, and we just rotate. I'm over here just trying to keep up, trying to figure out what key they're playing in, and everybody is just there are just phenomenal musicians, and we just get together and we just jam. And I think that is an art that is somewhat lost in the music community now. You know, people aren't there. There's almost more competition than camaraderie, and when you get down to it, music's not really about that.
Yeah, I think we got lucky. That the people here are so accepting to new musicians as well. I remember when I was first starting, it's like, well, I only know a G chord. Well, when the G chord comes around, you hit it. people are just accepting and inviting of new musicians in this area to teach them what you know. Nobody is stingy with their knowledge. Yeah. And I think that really helps this area to grow.
That's cool.
I want to talk about these closet musicians. It's just they play it for passion and they don't want to pursue it professionally. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Have you been to any like music festivals around?
Not yet. No.
Or anywhere like that. I mean, yeah. Red Wing is more of the bluegrass folk style, but any other festivals as well. If you go to one of those festivals and walk around the campground after all the music from the stage that the professional musicians are playing, every campground is going to have an upright bass and a couple guitars and a fiddle or whatever those people bring. And you can listen to music all night long.
They're burning it down.
They're going to try to get on stage. Yeah, they're just there because they have a passion for it.
Yeah, that seems to be a general theme among the music community. We had Corey Lynn Green on the podcast, and she talked about Appalachian music and just that whole camaraderie of you go to one of those kind of festivals and there's just all these musicians playing in the parking lot and playing with each other and having jam sessions and things like that. So it sounds like this is across the genres in the music community. It's a thing. It's a thing to do that. So do you all go out in the parking lots afterwards too at festivals and just jam out? I don't know. Okay, you're laughing. I don't know something. I missed something.
It depends on the parking lot, don't it? Yeah. It depends on how far away from home we are. Yeah. We're gonna have to get on the road. Yeah. So we've been known to wander out with a couple of six packs and at least hang out.
Okay, that's great. Let me ask you this: the Hackens Boys have a knack for energizing crowds as well. Can you share a memorable onstage moment that encapsulates the band's live spirit?
Well, there's one that comes to mind to me, and it really involves Spencer. Can you tell me about the time that you got your neck licked?
What?
Oh my God. We can still hear you.
Oh. Ah, that's funny. Your neck was licked.
So basically, you can call me wet neck or whatever. We're playing this show, and when I say in the holler of North Carolina, I mean in there.
It's where they filmed Roadhouse.
Yeah. Really, but they could have if they would have got it the contract.
So imagine, like, you know, you walk into a bar that looks like a piece of crap from the outside, and inside is like one of the coolest venues that you can imagine. But there is just there are no people around it that want to come because it is in the middle of nowhere. So we're playing this show, and I mean, this has been a couple of years ago. And so I don't really care for wearing shoes very much. So I'm playing this show barefoot, and we go to take our first break, and these two, we'll call them elderlies. Geriatrics going on here. Two elderly ladies are like motioning me over to them. And, you know, in my head, you know, I'm young and dumb. I'm like, oh, these two nice old ladies want to compliment our show. And, you know, they look sweet enough. Well, instead, they pulled me right in between them and said some lewd things into my ear. And one of them goes, wiggle them toes, boy. The other one goes, you remind me of my grandson, and then just slurps my neck. I mean, I was like, oh my God, man. I've never felt more violated in my entire life. With the geriatric crowd.
And how did your other band members respond to this situation?
I felt like they did when I told the story. Yeah. Not very comforting, I can tell you that.
If I would have been right beside them, I would have told the ladies that it was okay if they continued.
But hear me out. You know, karma is one heck of a thing. And in the next set, that lady was cutting a rug and she busted a hip and man went down on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The energy got her. She went straight down.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know about the toes. You got to be careful with them things.
I know. They call me long toe.
On a serious note, though, what energizes us is our original music. And being able to share that with people who are passionate about it, whether that be at a bar in the middle of North Carolina or at a festival somewhere, you know, or an opening slot for a larger band, people who are passionate about listening to new music and learning about us, that energizes us. The crowd energizes us.
It's a never-ending cycle. We energize the crowd. The crowd energizes us, bring it up to the next level.
Yeah.
Back to it's just this never ending cycle in a perfect scenario. You're just continuing to connect with the crowd, and any sort of connection is going to bring more energy. Your minds are almost together when it's you and the crowd. You can feel their emotion and play off of that emotion, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, when you yell into a microphone, whatever it may be, like in between songs, whether it's, you know, who's here having a good time tonight, or just talking to them, and you get a wave, just like an overwhelming wave of people yelling back at you. I mean, there is no more electrifying feeling in this world. And I've stuck my pinky in an electrical outlet, and I'm telling you, a whole different ballgame. I can think of the one venue in particular, you know, up in Winchester. It was a max capacity of like 350 people. And we played in front of crowds for a couple thousand that didn't bring the energy that those 350 people in this small room brought. And you can't compare it to anything else in this world.
When you see people in the crowd singing the lyrics to your song,
to your original songs, you're like, whoa.
Mind blower.
Yeah.
It can be an emotional energy too. It could be a touching or emotional song that you're just all connected with.
Yeah.
I mean, energy doesn't have to be how you would picture energy, just jumping around stage and just being high strung. Energy can just be a connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that. That's you guys have an excellent spirit and I really enjoy it. It's very fun loving. And playful. I love it. And as musicians, you are spending a lot of time together and you're often on the road. How has the close-knit dynamic impacted your music and friendships?
It's for me, you know.
This is Tyler.
We actually like each other. That's the funny thing.
Sorry, Don. Didn't forget that was me. But hey.
Everybody, Laughers, this is Tyler, also called T.
Coach T.
For me, you know, a lot of things changed. The one thing that I love, this is the only band I've ever been in, so I don't know how it works for other bands, but we have one vehicle. So a lot of it for me is the fact that we have met before every show. We get into the same car, we ride to the show together, we play the show, and we come back. So we've had several vehicles over the years. Some good, some bad, some have blown up. I think what really changed,
you ever seen the wrong turn?
This is a recent purchase, but we were able to get it's like a party bus. So you're able to stand up in it. We got a TV, we got seats, and it really allows us to have kind of a stress-free environment driving to the show. And for you guys can speak to it, but for me, that has been a big relief because we're all together, we're all on time, everybody's calm leading up to the show. We know exactly what to do when we load in, and when we play and we load out. And I think that bonding time, it's not unlike anything else. It's like being on a football team or a baseball team. You know, you're going into, in this case, it's not like a game or a competition, but you've got that togetherness leading up to something that you've worked hard together, and it's time to perform. And that time on the bus to me is really special just because we have it to wind down and all be on the same page. So to me, that's created a lot of great camaraderie for us, is just being together.
Yeah, it's a living room. It's a locker room. Yeah. It's a meeting room.
It's a bar.
It's a bar.
Who's driving this bus?
Oh, we should shout out to Miles.
Oh, yeah. No, our roadie Miles, man. So we've got a driver, roadie, sound man. His name is Miles Campbell. He is one of the best dudes you'll ever meet. He's been a great addition to our team. He keeps us straight and just keeps us laughing. He fits right in. You know, he came in here probably about a year ago, a little over a year ago now, and it's like, we never missed a beat. You know, Miles came in and it's like, there's another brother.
It's been great having him.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
But, yes. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you were continuing right there, Spencer. I didn't want to cut you off, Daniel. What, you know, so you were saying.
I don't remember what I was saying.
all I was going to say is, additionally, one of the benefits of the bus is, you know, kind of like putting on your game song. You know, we get like, we're always listening to different music and stuff when we're going down the road. But then when it starts to get closer to game time, you know, you're 10, 15 minutes away from the venue, then it's like, all right, we start putting on all the music that we all are just like, all right, we are in the zone, ready to do what we do.
Mainly Limp Bizkit live, Woodstock 99.
Woodstock 99, Limp Bizkit, break stuff. We had a chainsaw. I wasn't born yet, but that's okay. I've seen the documentary.
Born there.
Doggy.
What would you say the craziest thing has happened to you guys on the road?
Our old van did blow the transmission on the side of the highway in West Virginia. We worshiped up there.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, baby, yeah. At 3 a.m. and we're still on the road.
Let's see. The first, maybe it wasn't the first trip we took in the new bus, which isn't really new. We blew a tire. And we had no way to pump the tire up. Yeah. And I bet we put a 12 pack of Fix-A-Flat in
that. 2.5 hours away up near Atlanta, yeah. We stopped every 15 minutes to put a new can of Fix-A-Flat in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah.
It made it. When the go ahead.
So on the, another one is on the way back from me getting my neck licked. We So our driver at that point had a migraine. our guitar player was driving, Brandon, and he goes, he takes some gravel road turn, and we're all like, you know what? I don't know if this is where we're supposed to be headed. I don't remember any gravel roads. He's like, nah, man, this is a shortcut. And we're like 20 minutes down a very much one lane gravel road slash drop.
Passenger van with a trailer.
In a Ford passenger van with a 16-foot enclosed trailer. And finally, Brandon goes, you know, guys, I think I've made a mistake. And, we just kept riding it out. And eventually it spit us out somewhere up on Afton. We still, to this day, I don't know which road we were on.
We did make it out there.
But we did get here.
I think one time the windshield wipers stopped working.
All the way to Nashville.
Yeah. Was it raining?
It was raining.
No, we left to go to Nashville from the parking ride. It was early once we left it. It was dark, like 5 a.m. And it was in the old van. And it starts sprinkling in the dark. And we flip on the windshield wipers. And they didn't start going. So on the interstate, the lights are terrible on that old van. And we had to pull over under an underpass until it stopped raining. And, hey, we did learn this. If you're ever in that situation, Rain-X your windshield. The rain beads off of it. You can see right through it. No windshield wipers. If anybody gets in that situation,
we made it to Nashville.
Made it to Nashville in the rain.
Yeah, I do respect for Rain-X.
That's right. That's right. Shit. Opportunity.
Yeah. Rain-X, if you are listening.
Yeah. Rain-X. They're taking sponsors.
Yeah. Mac and Boy, sponsored by Rain-X.
That's our old driver ran over something that we still don't know what it is.
Oh my gosh.
Knocked the fender off the trailer. We still don't know what. Or the fender or the object we hit.
Still don't have a fender.
We still don't have a fender.
We still don't have a fender. It's a dangerous place out there, Dawn. That's all we're saying.
I'm curious about the transmission. Did that happen before or after the gig? Were you
after.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Thankfully, we had enough of our friends and relatives also driving to that gig that we all managed to like pack into another vehicle, so we didn't. You know, we weren't like. We were up the creek, but we at least had a paddle, you know? Yeah.
I had to unpack all of the equipment that we were afraid would get looted out of the van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m. on the side of the highway. That was interesting.
That was interesting. Never a dull moment when you're an artist on the road. I can guarantee you that. Comedians are also aware and have stories. From the musician's perspective, though, with your songwriting to recording and performing, what's the creative process like for the Hackens Boys when you all are working on new material?
So that's been a new process for us too. We've gone through a couple different producers, mixers, masterers. King of Wild was produced by someone different than our new singles. And we had an intermediary record one single for us. But when it comes to the music, I think we've already touched on that. Our music videos are something that we're proud of. Check us out on YouTube at the Hackens Boys. Got a lot of original videos on there. We're fortunate enough to have a friend in Brian Elijah Smith. Shout out, Brian. We've worked with him on all of our music videos, and the quality is exceptional. The first couple of videos, we kind of went into it with generic ideas and let him have some creative thought processes, and then we filled in the blanks. And then over the course of the last two or three videos, we've started to storyboard ahead of time based off the lyric content or what we had a vision for, and kind of acted as our own directors and producers. From Monte Carlo, we went to a junkyard at Custer's and Fox Run. Shout out Custer's and Fox Run. And then our most recent video, which is going to drop soon, I'll let Spencer talk about.
It's circling back a couple of things. Well, so our latest video we filmed at this cabin on the river that is owned by some really good friends of ours. We're getting ready to release the new song, and we're probably going to release the video around the same time. It's called Wasted Daydream. And so we really just wanted to, it's really an emotional song for us. It's about, you know, losing a best friend and, you know, kind of whenever you're doing the things that you used to do with them, how you kind of find yourself in a daze sometimes and imagining them still being with you. But back to, you know, to your original question about kind of the creative process, putting the songs together, it kind of starts with like, am I wrong? That is what you asked, right? Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
So it starts with like an idea, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, sometimes an idea can be a line, like just a one liner. And, you know, you come in, you start brainstorming with the guys, or like Tyler will come in with a verse here and there, and he and I or all of us will start, okay, well, where could that go for the chorus? And, you know, when we're writing songs, 9 times out of 10, it's a melody, a vocal melody, and just kind of strumming some chords. And then once you have the song structure laid out, then, you know, you play it. I play it with acoustic. Tyler will kind of kick in with a drum beat. And then it just molds itself into what it is, because when Jake starts thumping on the bass and Dan starts playing some lead licks and some electric rhythms, it molds itself into almost whatever it kind of is supposed to be. And then we have a really good relationship with our producer, Mike Davis. And, you know, we're always very, very eager to hear his input, because Mike is a killer. He lives over in Charlottesville. He's been in the scene a long time, lived in Nashville, lived here. He's done a lot of really great things with music and recording and producing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A little more individual.
Yeah.
Maybe we should write a little more individual, touching on what I said about that King of Wild album earlier, where the songs are more individual songs that were brought in and played as a group, where now when we have an idea, we may bring it sooner.
Yeah,
and we try and write a song together and get everyone's input on it from the beginning.
Yeah,
I think that's really helped us mold a sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love how you are not just doing audio, you're doing visual with the music videos to share your band spirit and your creativity. And your talents. The videos that you were talking about earlier, there are some of them are on not just the YouTube channel, but on your website. That's where I first saw them, which brought me to your channel. And the first one I looked at, I that gave me a throwback to the old MTV videos when MTV first started. You know, there are storylines and it's interesting and it's intriguing and you're captivated. I was just touched my heart. I was like, oh, and then I watched another one and then I watched another one. They're really well done. So you are welcome. And laughers, if you have not checked out their YouTube channel, I recommend that you go there right now, the Hackens Boys, and check some of those videos out. We want to increase their subscribers from 673 and triple it by Christmas. And you can be a part of that goal. So
I just Christmas gift to us.
That's right.
A 6-pack and some popcorn.
Yeah,
that's right. And get that discount pre-popster at pre-popster. Yeah. Laugh 15. But seriously, your music undoubtedly and does bring joy to your listeners. Can you tell us about a song that holds a special place in your house, in your hearts, and why it resonates with you?
You know, one of the songs, you know, one of my favorites that we have is Monte Carlo. And, you know, it's not one of our songs that you're going to listen to and go, you know, it's not deeper than what it is. To me, it is a song of it's a good time. When you hear it, you want to put your pedal to the floor in the car and just drive fast And for whatever reason, like, I feel like that song really kind of speaks to who we are, you know, when we've talked about, you know, what brings us energy and how do you get the crowd involved? Songs like that to me are how we do that. It's just there. It's an energy high song. And for me, while it's not on a necessarily a deeper level, I love that song in particular because of that. You know, it does bring the energy. It tells people, you know, hey, we're here to have a good time. And I think that it makes them want to have a good time as well.
What was the name of the song again?
It's called Monte Carlo.
Is it about a car? Not a car, though.
It's about a car, yeah.
See?
It's not about a car. But
I had to clarify because that was my first car, a 2T Top Monte Carlo.
See if you can relate when you...
Yeah, you got to check that one out.
Or watch the video on the Atkins Boys YouTube channel.
Okay. It piqued my interest. I was like, really talking about the car? Because I know about that car.
Yeah. I bet your old one doesn't cut the wind like it used to.
How about you, T? Which one is it for you?
I was trying to think about this too. And for me, I like all of our music. Sometimes when I'm driving, I like to listen to songs that make me paint a picture in my head about what is going on. It's more like the storytelling aspect. So it's like, it's almost kind of like reading a book. So while the song is going, you're visualizing the story that the song's painting with the lyrics. And Yesterday's for me is a song that really takes me back to a place where, you know, I said this at Sipes last year, but no matter how old you get, there's certain things in your hometown that you see and it takes you right back to that place and time when you first saw it. So, you know, 20 years go by, 30 years go by, you're right back to that same place that you were that long ago. And that song to me lyrically takes me back to a place that that I really enjoy. It's a great reflective song. And I enjoy the singer songwriter piece of it. So Yesterday's for me is that song.
How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I'd say out of our original songs, Gunpowder and Grenades is one that I brought to the table. I really like the way that turned out. It's a very emotional tune. When I was writing it, I really was thinking about people's mental health and what it means to be lost sometimes and maybe checking on someone and just really trying to bring people's mental health to the picture with that. And I think it turned out really, really well.
Yeah.
And what was the name of that one again?
Gunpowder and Grenades.
Gunpowder and Grenades. So Monte Carlo, T's was...
Yesterday's,
Monte Carlo, Yesterday's. Gunpowder and grenades. Right. And now, Jake, tell us about yours.
I'm kind of like T. I'd go back and forth depending on my mood. We're both in sales, so we both have a lot of windshield time. So.
Raynex, we're calling you on you.
That's right. Yeah. I do like Gunpowder and Grenades for the same reason that Dan said, but also it was one of the singles after our initial album, King of Wild. And that's when we really started to formulate our cohesive sound that we have now. So I like that song for that reason as well. But I like our new song, one of our new songs, Hate That Too. I just feel like it's kind of like a unique take on the perspective from a hometown and things that happen, things you might not be happy with the turnout. But it's creative and it's heavy, and I like that song. So,
Hate That Too. That's the new one, released June 2nd, right? Yeah. Is there a video? You said there's video for that, or there's going to be a video?
No, there's a lyric video for Hate That Too, and then towards the end of this month, either the end of this month or the 1st of September, we're going to be releasing another single, and that one's called Wasted Daydream. And you know, I touched a little bit about that just a second ago, but really, that is probably my favorite song that we will have out once it is out. Mm-hmm. that song, like I said earlier, it hits home. You know, when you listen to the words, I think that everybody can relate to losing someone that they're close mm-hmm. to. And when that happens and you just don't know what to do with yourself, and it just really, really puts that feeling out there where you're just, you know, the hook of the song is every time I get high in the Texas sunshine, you got a crazy way of showing up. And it's like, you, anytime that you're doing those things that you used to do with the person that you loved, they just kind of have a way of appearing in your mind, even though they're not really there. So that is 100% probably one of my tops as well.
So keep a lookout for that.
Keep a lookout for that towards the end of this month. It'll be out on all the streaming platforms.
Ah, well, hopefully, yeah, we'd be able to put the link in there. I'd like to be able to put links to each one of your favorite songs in the show notes. So
yeah, sure.
we will do that for you, laughers. Each one of the songs that they named is their favorite. You can refer right to them in the show notes and here for this episode. So that's exciting. I want to ask all of you, how has the support of your local fan base contributed to the band's journey? And what is next for the Hackens Boys?
For that one, I was thinking, Don, is, you know, back when we first started, we talked about that in the beginning, but our first show was in 2006 on a Tuesday night at this place right close to where we are now, downtown Harrisonburg, called Main Street Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
And no expectation. We were not good musicians. And that night we had to bring 500 people. It was packed. And that was the day to me that really it got the band going, because even though we weren't great musicians at that time, we always had a following, and we would not be here. We might be some semblance of another group, but this band, the Hackens Boys, would not be here without the support of all of our friends back then. That's what really got the momentum going. So we owe it to the local fan base for sure, for many years of support. And, you know, to me, that's what it was founded on. And these guys can answer the question about where they see things going. But for me, there's no use of doing anything if you're not going to do the very best you can and try to maximize the potential of what you have. So I love the business aspect of it. I love trying to get better, doing bigger and better things, traveling to new places, seeing new things. That's what keeps me driven and has kept me driven as a musician for this many years. We just have a great group of guys now where that's what we want to do. We're all on the same page. So for me, it's going to take us wherever the next bigger and better thing is. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to make new original music, explore new venues, meet new people, and just keep it rolling for as long as we can. That's where I see us going in the future. So
yeah. Yeah, ditto.
And that's Coach T's pep talks.
I think you know, one of the things that a lot of folks kind of look over with the music business is the business side, and it is as important, if not slightly more important, than the music side when it comes to where you're going to end up and where you're going to go. And I think, you know, touching on what T said as far as where we want to go as a group, it's in this business that is, you can put your entire heart, soul, and every bit of energy that you've got into making it in the music business. And ultimately, it's not really up to you. It's up to the consumers, and it's up to the other businesses that run this music business. So for us, there's not really necessarily an end goal in mind. It is to always and continuously grow. You know, whatever we're doing, we want to continue to put out good music, quality videos, and just continue to try to climb the ladder and play with more musicians that are playing nationally, and just try to score those bigger and better shows and just make great connections.
Yeah,
agreed. That he said it all for you, right? Does anyone else have something to add to that, or
sums it up?
I think that's about it.
All right. Now, Coach T, before we ask this wrap-up question, so is he an actual coach? Is that your job?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but So I'm a PE major, so physical education, not project engineer. I always tell people that. So coached high school football for many, many years. Now my son's into sports, so we're getting back into coaching. Something I love. Always wanted to be a college football coach. Didn't go that way. But something I'm passionate about. So I am a real coach. These guys, you know, talk some trash, but it is what I do.
Okay. It's not professional.
We love it.
Where'd you coach when you were coaching for
Turner Ashby for 10 years, coached football there. And now I'm back coaching Bridgewater Little League, doing the youth baseball thing. So it's been fun. It's been fun. I enjoy coaching because, you know, you watch other people succeed. What's cool, even in the band, is, you know, when you talk to someone or show someone how to do something and they do it or something clicks and they actually get it.
Yeah.
That can give you a lot of pride. That's cool to see. That's what being a coach is about.
Okay. I'm curious because my son played high school football at Harrisonburg. What years did you coach football?
So I coached 2003 and then 2007 to 2016.
Oh, then you are familiar. My son is Landon Turner.
Oh, yeah. No, I know his name very well. I remember seeing him field. And then I'm a huge Bucks fan, Tampa Bay Bucks fan. So I remember him playing for the Saints.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to see he was in our division, but he's a great, great player. So I definitely remember him from the days. I didn't want to see him on the field. He was crushing it. So great player.
Definitely a great player. So that's really cool. In a small world here, Coach T. I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's really. He almost went to Turner Ashby when we moved here.
We would have loved to have him.
How about it? Well, as we wrap up our conversation, how best can the Laughers stay updated with the latest with your band and upcoming performances on social media or otherwise?
Great question. So two of the best places to keep up with us are Facebook and Instagram. We're always going to be keeping our schedule updated on Facebook and Instagram, and then always posting stories when we're out and about. You can kind of keep up with our band antics and the bus antics and all that good stuff. Additionally, our website, hackensboys.com, we will have our entire tour schedule, links to our newest singles and all the music videos. But yeah, those are definitely the best methods of keeping up with us.
Check the website for merchandise as well. Our YouTube channel, The Hackens Boys, for all those music videos that we talked about earlier. And locally, we have a show on August 26th at Three Brothers Brewing. Yeah. We're having an outdoor show there. Brothers Brewing is brewing us our own beer.
Shred Dirt Lager.
It will be a red lager. Yeah. And we will be there with Brian Elijah Smith.
Nice. Next time, consult me. We have a comedy show the same night. We can't be competing, boys.
Hey, we tried to really plan it around other things so people could come to everything. Yeah. But
it's so hard to do that. It's same with us with comedy shows. You just can't. It's impossible. But yeah. I think that's awesome. I love what they're doing at Brothers Craft with the beer release and all of that, too. That's really fun. Well, this we'll make sure we put that information for you, Laughers, in the show notes as well. And thank you for coming on the show, Spencer, Daniel, Jake, and Tyler. This has been super fun chatting up all things with the Hackens Boys today. I loved our chat and appreciate each of you and your music so much. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
You bet. And Laffers, you can see where they're performing next, hear some of their music, watch some of their music videos, buy merch, and more when you visit HackensBoys.com today. Also, if you would like to try this confetti popcorn or one of the many salty and sweet flavors from Pre-Popsterous, remember to use the Laffers promo code LAFF15 and you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laffers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
See you.
Thank you all.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.